Welcome to Outbeat Fifth Sunday. I'm Gary Carnevale here in the KRCB studios with Greg Moralia. Tonight, our guest for the full hour is Buzz Hermes, who is facilitating Aging Together with Pride, an eight-week series that will begin February 6th at the Sebastopol Senior Center. Later in the show, we have a big announcement about an exciting new project the Outbeat Radio team is kicking off that involves LGBT seniors. But up first, Outbeat News and Calendar.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, January 31st, 2016. Mexico's Supreme Court has struck down language in a Jalisco state law that defines marriage as between a man and a woman. The decision means Jalisco becomes the fourth jurisdiction nationwide where gay couples can automatically get married, joining Coahuila and Quintana Roo states along with Mexico City. Last year, the Supreme Court issued a ruling saying it was unconstitutional for Mexican states to bar same-sex marriage, but that decision was considered a jurisprudential thesis that did not actually invalidate state laws, meaning couples would have to sue for the right to marry and wait for the courts to rule on each individual case. This Tuesday's ruling establishes a generalized right for same-sex couples to wed in Jalisco, which is home to the country's second-largest city, Guadalajara. And here in the U.S., an Oregon State Judicial Fitness Panel has recommended the removal of a Marion County judge who came under scrutiny last year for refusing to perform same-sex marriages based on his religious beliefs. The Commission on Judicial Fitness and Disability filed this recommendation to the state Supreme Court last Monday, accusing Marion County Judge Vance Day of discrimination based on sexual orientation and a myriad of other ethical violations. The Commission wrote in its recommendation, which followed an investigation and a weeks-long disciplinary hearing, quote, Judge Day's pattern of behavior includes misconduct for personal gain and misconduct amounting to criminal behavior. His misconduct is of such a nature as to impugn his honesty and integrity, end quote. Patrick Corgan, Day's spokesman, said he wasn't immediately available to provide a full response given the recommendation was filed so late in the day, but added that Day and his legal team were disappointed. Despite the commission receiving dozens of complaints every year, one rarely results in any formal disciplinary proceedings. Day is now the sixth judge since 2007 to have been referred for sanctions to the Supreme Court, which will have the final say. And here in California, The Danish Girl is up for a GLAAD Media Award this year, where a record number of nominees feature transgender characters and subject matter. The gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender advocacy group announced the 101 nominees for its 27th annual honors this last Wednesday. Academy Award contenders The Danish Girl and Carol are up for outstanding wide-release films, along with Dope, Freeheld, and Grandma. The awards honor outstanding images of the LGBT community in music, movies, TV, and journalism. Netflix earned the most nods in the TV categories for the streaming services Orange is the New Black, Master of None, and Grace and Frankie, which are all nominated for outstanding comedies, with Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Faking It, Looking, Modern Family, Please Like Me, Transparent, and Vicious. In the TV drama category, Netflix's Sense8 will face off against Arrow, Black Sails, Empire, The Fosters, Grey's Anatomy, How to Get Away with Murder, Nashville, Orphan Black, and Shameless. The organization said for that the first time ever, 50% of the English language nominations featured transgender characters and subject matter, including series such as Amazon's Transparent and E's I'm Kate. GLAAD President and CEO Sarah Kate Ellis said, this year's nominees have raised the bar for creating thoughtful and diverse LGBT images and storylines, deepening audiences' understanding of LGBT people, and accelerating acceptance across the world. The GLAAD Awards will be presented this spring in Los Angeles and New York, and the ceremonies will be televised in a one-hour special that will air on Logo in April. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Monday, February 1st at 2 p.m., the Sonoma General LGBT Support Group will meet at the Sonoma Community Center, 276 East Street in Sonoma. And also on Monday from 5 to 6 p.m., Positive Images LGBTQI Sonoma Support Group will convene at the same location. And on Tuesday, February 2nd at 10 a.m., the Napa Older Adults Discussion Group will meet at the Queen of the Valley Hospital, 3448 Villa Lane in Napa. And also on Tuesday at 6 p.m., the Transgender North Bay Group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Wednesday, February 3rd at 5 p.m., Spectrum's Youth Support Group will meet at the Spectrum LGBT Center, 910 Irwin Street in San Rafael. And on Thursday, February 4th at 12 noon, the men's brown bag lunch and discussion will happen at the Spectrum Center in San Rafael. And also on Thursday at 7:30 p.m., PFLAG North Bay will gather at the Westminster Presbyterian Church, 240 Tiburon Boulevard in Mill Valley. And finally, don't forget the Napa PFLAG Dine and Donate event happens at Il Posto Italian Restaurant at 4211 Solano Ave in Napa tomorrow night between 5 and 9 p.m. A portion of the evening's proceeds will benefit Napa PFLAG. For more information about LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. And for all the latest LGBT news headlines, go to our website at outbeatnews.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for updates from Outbeat Radio News all week long. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Thank you for listening tonight. I'm Gary Carnevale here with Greg Moralia. Tonight's guest is Buzz Hermes, who presently runs Sonoma Valley Seniors Group, which meets at Vintage House in Sonoma. He will facilitate Aging Together with Pride, an eight-week series, which will begin next week at the Sebastopol Senior Center. Welcome to Outbeat Radio, Buzz.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, welcome. Well, why don't you start out by having you talk a little bit about what the LGBTQI Seniors Outreach Project is, and how did it start, and what groups are helping to fund it?
I'm happy to talk about that. There's a great new group in town called the LGBTQI Giving Circle. It started last year, and the whole concept is that those of us who want to make sure that our money stays in our community can join the circle. It costs $500 annually, and they have over 100 members, and it was very easy for them to get that right off the bat. So at the end of the year, they had approximately $50,000, and to decide how to distribute it, they held some informational meetings. They had one where there was a panel that were presented on youth issues, and there was one that presented on senior issues. I was a part of that. And then there was one that presented on community building issues. And when they decided where to focus their giving, they decided to do all three. So they've been funding some great work in the county this year. They're working with the Sonoma Youth Advocates to make sure that the homeless LGBT youth are being served, and several other youth groups. They also sponsored sponsoring a transgender conference that grew a huge crowd. And Nancy Flaxman and I were colleagues at Spectrum, Center for LGBT Concerns. We learned that they were going to have some money available for senior programs. We both said that's our passion. So we approached the County Adult and Aging Services Department and asked them if they were interested in sponsoring a grant proposal. And they jumped at the chance. Mm. They're very, very LGBT welcoming and very anxious to increase their outreach. So we helped them put together the proposal, and lo and behold, we got some money.
That's terrific.
So that's how it started. Nancy Flaxman is really an expert at doing cultural competency trainings. So we proposed to have a project that was in two components. One component would be to work with the service providers to make sure they were sensitive and welcoming. And then the other component, my component, was to work with the service consumers, the LGBT elders and older adults, to make sure that they knew about the services and knew that they were being prepared to welcome them and given some hints on how to access them. But also, we'll talk later about some of the other aspects of that component. So that's how it all came about, and Nancy and I are just so excited about the way it's going.
It was exciting.
The response from the service providers has just been great. She's working with three different agencies now, and there'll be a countywide program in the spring. So that's going well, and I'm pleased with the first series I held in Santa Rosa. We had a great turnout, and I'm just really excited about this. I think we've tapped into something really important here. So
that's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Great, and good for you, and thank you for what you're doing for the community. It's very important. And next week, like you mentioned, will be the second of four planned Aging Together with Pride series. Tell us, who is invited to participate, and can folks still register to join you?
I have actually 23 people already signed up, but we can always make room for more. And we're targeting people that may not be comfortable accessing services, maybe low income and in need of services. So there's no age criteria. The last series in Santa Rosa, we had people in their early 60s all the way up to almost 90. Hmm. So we had actually three generations of LGBT seniors. And it's an interesting mix, let me put it that way. It's we all have had different experiences because our coming out period occurred at different times in our culture's evolution. And I found it to be an opportunity for us to share our personal wisdom, and there aren't many opportunities for us to do that. So I learned a lot from it, I know, and I know other people have said the same.
Yeah. So I'm curious, with that many different kinds of people from so many different generations, how did you go about designing the series to have something for everyone?
It was tricky. One of the things I tried to do is gear this for the particular group that I'm working with. And I think it's important that the younger people know what previous generations have been through. So making sure that those stories get shared. And we actually, in the our eldest was 89. The very last session, we honored him as our special elder.
No.
Because I think that's important. Because he had experienced life, a lot of challenges being LGBT in that era.
Right.
So.
Such a different time.
Yeah, yeah. But we learn from each other. I think that's the great thing. Younger people kind of embolden those of us who are from earlier times to be more courageous and more out, and so I noticed that was happening, and it was great.
So I bet some just amazing coming out stories. Is that part of the, I would imagine that's part of the series, sharing when they came out, how they came out.
For most of us, it's an ongoing process.
Right.
So we're always, a good example of that would be, about 12 years ago, I had to go to the emergency room, and the doctor on duty was asking me all these questions that put me on edge. And he kept saying, does your wife know you're here? And we'll be happy to call her. And do you have some kids that we should notify? And things like that. And I thought, already I could feel myself trying to decide how much coming out I needed to do at that moment. And if I came out, would this jeopardize my health care? And I know a lot of my friends say, well, that's silly in this day and age. But I think those of us who – I grew up in the silent generation where we just didn't talk about this. So we're hypervigilant, maybe in times – in ways that we shouldn't be, but we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just the way it is with those of us who are
right.
from earlier generations.
Right. So what are the main objectives of the series?
Well, let me read you from my list of topics what our intention is here, because I think it says it all. The purpose of the series is to discover strategies that will empower us to grow older with greater confidence, comfort, dignity, purpose, and joy. Another intent is to appreciate our life journeys and the wisdom we have gleaned. And the third, and this is a really important one, to form supportive connections with each other. That's a big part of it. Getting people who are isolated and who don't have, at this stage in life where we really need supportive connections, they just don't have them. And that's typical of a lot of us from this my generation and earlier. Mm-hmm. So that that's the gist of it. I think it's to put it into one word, it's an empowering process. Learning to appreciate yourself for your life journey and learning to take command of your elderhood, to get what you need to live out your last years with some dignity and safety and comfort.
Right, those are great topics, all of them.
Yeah.
Just a fascinating group of topics, and you know, and I think, you know, key, we already sort of dealt with, spoke about dealing with homophobia today and in the past. But it's also interesting that you've included sort of how folks are impacted by this youth-obsessed society. In your opinion, what are some of the issues that people face?
You know, it's interesting. One of the things I'm learning is that it's in the LGBT community, it's probably the obsession with youth is not so characteristic of the lesbian community as it is with the gay male community. Mm-hmm. I think we are so fearful of becoming tired old queens that we dread getting old. And we also have this kind of this Adonis fixation where we lose love for our bodies as we age. So that's another layer on top of a culture that already is so fearful of getting old that almost every commercial on TV now is an anti-aging something or other. So we are in a youth-fixated culture. So we have these two layers going on, especially in the gay male community. And then there's the societal scarring that happened. So if we, in one of the first sessions, we look at how we've internalized homophobia, and maybe really subtle, and maybe we think we haven't done that. But my research shows that our LGBT community is more at risk for substance abuse, for depression, for isolation, for lots of different problems that we associate often with lack of self-care. And that, to me, often stems from having lack of self-love, to put it bluntly. And it's subtle. It's very subtle, I think. So we may think we're just being one of the gang by having drinks, but it may be a way to just numb ourselves from our scarring.
So I was looking at the second session has a goal to assist participants with reweaving our life's tapestry. Talk a little bit about your plans for how that's going to happen.
That comes from Robert Wayne's quote about this is the time of life to reweave the tear-stained threads of your life into a colorful new tapestry of meaning. And I find that to be really potent. And then to apply it to the LGBT community, where we look back at our wounds and try to figure out what we what strengths we developed to respond to that being other in a culture. And one of the quite a few of actually of the studies have shown that they call it minority stress, the minority stress that the LGBT community has experienced as we age can become what they call crisis competence. In other words, if the wounding didn't kill you, it makes you stronger. And so they're finding that a lot of the community has learned how to be resilient and to handle crises that come up with aging. And so part of this reweaving is looking back, acknowledging the woundings that may have happened, and as much as possible, letting go of regrets and resentments, and forgiving yourself for whatever you did or didn't do. And then looking at places where you gained strength, and how can you bring that forward now into your aging process? Mm-hmm. What can you do the next time you find yourself facing a health challenge? Mm-hmm. What could you draw upon? And a lot of what we find in the group is humor. It's kind of a generic quality in the LGBT community. We have this sense of a dark humor or a sick humor that serves us, I think, really well when times are rough. So,
right.
So we laugh a lot.
That's excellent. But a more serious topic, you spend some time helping seniors find supportive services in the community and accessing them. Do you believe this is something that many folks have problems doing?
I do. It's a very, very complicated system for anybody to access. It's a piecemeal. It grew in a piecemeal fashion, so there was no divine plan. It was just, oh, here's a need. Let's have a nonprofit form to fill that need, and then oh, now we've found another need. Let's have another nonprofit fill that need. And so when you look at the senior resource guide for the county, it's pretty thick, and you don't know where to begin. So that something that all seniors experience, I think, is, you know, if I just need someone to bring me a meal until I get over this illness, where do I begin, you know? But then if you've got, as someone said, you know, I've got my house is full of gay magazines. I've got pictures of my former lover and my former partner. The minute a stranger walks in, it's just really obvious that I'm gay or lesbian. So I'm not really comfortable with that. And you know what? And it has happened where people have come in who were homophobic, and some really horrible stories have been shared about cases where it was not a good experience.
Wow.
So, yes, I think a lot of people are reluctant. Sometimes when you go into an agency, you start to fill out the form, and it's obviously geared for heterosexual people. And so you're not sure how to respond sometimes, you know. So that's what we're trying to address with this project, Nancy and I. You know, Nancy's really working on best practices with agencies so that you see something that says, hey, you're welcome here, right at the front door, that the receptionist is also geared up so that she doesn't begin to pester you with questions that
don't
force
you
to come out in ways that may be not comfortable. I think this is a project that's really starting to bridge that gap, and I'm really excited to be a part of it. Yeah.
Well, I see there's another series of topics that also are pretty serious that you're going to be navigating through, and those include, you know, healthcare, mortality, and end-of-life decisions. You know, with a population that may have a lot of folks who are all by themselves.
That's right. Right. Yeah.
Talk about how you're going to handle the sensitivity of that and how you're going to guide people through that decision-making process.
That's why I said creating supportive connections is so important. You may be familiar that there's a Rainbow Village starting in Marin County. It's part of the village model that was started back in Boston years ago, and it's a membership-based idea where you pay so much a month. It's designed for people to stay in their homes and be able to, you know, a good example, a water heater. You don't have any hot water one day, and if you call a plumber, he's going to charge an arm and a leg. Well, if I can call the Rainbow Village office, maybe they'll have a volunteer come out, and maybe it's just the pilot. And they can just light the pilot and save me.
That's pretty cool. I haven't heard about this yet.
No. Yeah.
Mm. So that's a real extreme – that's a very formal example of a supportive network. But my goal is to – through these gatherings, these eight-week series, is that we can start connecting people with each other. And it doesn't – you don't have to be best friends to be someone's DPA for healthcare as long as you know exactly what they want. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we do in the group is we have – we talk about, you know, the importance of having these things in place. If you really want your wishes honored, you have to have these legal documents done. So there are people, of course, that do it professionally. They're willing to be your agent as a paid professional,
right.
And that's an option. But if it's so much better if we can find someone that we can connect with, and
sure.
that we can maybe have a mutual agreement with, and maybe we won't. See them for a long time, but all of us, but we have that paperwork and we know what they want, and we can serve that function right. for them. So it's overcoming the isolation and the disconnect is a great part of what we're aiming to do here. I would like to see something also on the internet where I could just type in, "Hey, I'm having surgery on Thursday, and I could really use someone to walk my dog. Is there anyone out there
right.
who could
right.
come and do that?"
Right.
Yeah.
There are all sort of community sharing groups.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, all over the world.
I really like that
world,
idea, though.
Really, but,
yeah.
but one for LGBT yeah. seniors.
Well, yeah. that, the,
great idea.
The project you mentioned in Marin, the Rainbow Village, that sounds like an amazing idea.
It is a great idea. It's actually part of a – Marin, like Sonoma, is a rural county. So In urban situations like Boston, you know, it's almost neighborhood by neighborhood.
Right.
Each neighborhood could have their own village. But this is one that would be countywide. So they have what they call a hub and spoke arrangement. There's a hub office
mm-hmm.
that is staffed that it, and each of these areas that develop their own villages feeds into that. But with the Rainbow Village, it will serve all of Marin County.
That's mm-hmm. great.
So...
Great. So you've already been through this. You've had one series.
Uh-huh.
What sort of feedback have you gotten?
Well, it's interesting. The group really wanted to continue meeting after the end of the eight-week series. I don't know that that's really happened. I think they did have one meeting afterwards. Sometimes people have a lot of enthusiasm, and then it kind of peters out. But a number of them have re-enrolled in the second series because I think primarily they like that the connecting that happens in that. I had some good feedback in the written evaluations, and some people actually emailed me at the end of it to say, you know, that it really was helpful, and they've gone on and joined other groups, and so that's encouraging. So, and I'm going to try to make a point of staying in touch with each of the people that have gone through the series
mm-hmm.
and keep them up to date on what's happening in the county. And one of the great things that came out of that first group also is that I said, you know, there's nothing in the senior resource guide that you can look under LGBT and find resources. There's just nothing. Unless you know Spectrum exists,
mm-hmm.
There's no... So this new one will have a separate category for LGBT seniors. And so the group helped me put together a list of groups that they knew about, you mm-hmm. know, that were... And so we submitted those to the county to vet and include if they want to.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Perfect. So I'm very excited. That was a great outcome of that, great byproduct of that series.
Good.
Good. Well, I think we're going to take a music break.
Okay.
But be sure to stay with us because we'll be back with more Conversation with Buzz right after this.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal ya, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's such a difference between us and a million miles. Talk about myself, I'm sorry. I hope that you will. Did you ever make it out of that town where nothing ever happened? It's no secret that the both of us are running out of time. So
if you're just joining us, you're listening to an Outbeat Extra here on KRCB FM Windsor Santa Rosa Radio 91. And of course, that was the amazing Adele with Hello from her album 25. Isn't she amazing, Gary?
I love her.
She has over a billion hits on that music video on her YouTube page.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
It's pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. Well, before we continue our conversation with Buzz about the incredible project he's doing with LGBT seniors, we want to tell you all about a project we're launching here related to capturing the stories and the history of LGBT seniors that we're going to call the North Bay LGBT Senior Voices Project. And so we're hoping that you're going to be willing to participate with us to share your stories. Gary, where should people go if they want to get involved?
They can go to the website, Outbeat Radio website, www.outbeatradio.com, or you can click on contact. Or you can give me a call here at the station at 707-584-2006. Leave your name and number so that we may contact you with all the details. We are planning on arranging a date and time for you to come and join us at C-Media Labs in Santa Rosa, where we hope to do the bulk of the recording. We'll also arrange to come and meet groups who are interested in participating to talk about North Bay LGBT Senior Voices. Information will be posted on the Outbeat Radio website and on gaysonoma.com. Again, contact directly through the website or give me a call here at 707-584-2006. We're looking forward to hearing from you and scheduling you to share your story.
Yeah, and so hopefully we'll capture enough of those stories so that throughout this year in 2016, as part of our Outbeat Extras on the fifth Sunday of each month, we can share and memorialize those stories of the incredible seniors who are living here in Sonoma County and around the region. So, Buzz, we're going to hope you're going to join us and be one of the first to share your story.
Love to. Love to.
It'd be really great.
All right. What do we have here? Well, speaking of telling stories, Buzz, why don't you tell us a bit about your life, your coming out, your education, your work experience, and how you came to be a part of the North Bay LGBT community?
Oh, my. Well, I'm from Napa. Unfortunately, when I was born, Napa was not quite the chic place it is today. It was a very conservative, blue-collar community. Although I didn't really know that I was gay, I knew I was different, and I couldn't wait to leave. I didn't really understand what was going on with me until I was actually 21 and moved to San Francisco. And of course, then I saw other people who were just like me, and that really helped. So I've had a pretty checkered past. I've done a lot of different things. The fun part about getting old is that it's all kind of coming together. I guess I'm a late bloomer, but it's all kind of all those different things, all those threads are being rewoven now into a nice new tapestry. And I got involved really in serving LGBT community when I was in my mid-40s. I suddenly had an interest in rediscovering my spiritual nature, and I was joined the, at that time they were called Churches of Religious Science, now they're called Centers for Spiritual Living. It was actually a church that was meeting in San Francisco, and it had a huge LGBT congregation. And so, it was also the mid-80s, so it was the AIDS pandemic was happening. So I started a gay forum in our church, we held regular meetings and social events, tried to build a sense of community within that spiritual community. And around 1989, I discovered there was a nonprofit starting in San Francisco called Kairos House, or Kairos Support for Caregivers. Father John McGran was a Catholic priest who was very concerned about the burnout that was happening among the medical professionals and others that were trying to meet the needs of people with HIV and AIDS, but also concerned about the partners and friends and family members. So we had this wonderful organization that met in a in a Victorian house in the Castro area. And we had support groups for partners, friends, and family, and we did outreach to professionals. And I did that for about 6-7 years, I guess. It was the most rewarding work I think I've ever done. Mm-hmm. I led caregiver groups. I taught. We had a workshop called The Final Stages, where we helped partners deal with the impending death of their ill partner. So it was a transformative experience. Mm, and then when that became part of Shanti, I moved on to Spectrum and did senior outreach there with Nancy Flaxman. And we had quite a few workshops. We had regular lunches. We did a lot of work. I still remember one of the early gay pride parades that I was in, where one of the participants actually found a refrigerator box and cut holes for her arms and legs so she could march in the parade without being out.
Right.
So it was an interesting time. Anyway, that's how I got involved in working with the LGBT community. And then I've also worked a lot in senior housing as a service coordinator. So when I say I'm reweaving the tapestries, now I'm bringing that experience of working with elders around benefits and services to my community. And what I learned from those elders about aging, what worked and what didn't, I'm also adapting for our community. So,
and you bring up housing, and it's such a huge issue for everyone.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Almost everywhere, but especially here in the Bay Area.
Yeah, it is. And if you don't have any income other than Social Security, it's almost impossible. Yeah.
Can't imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So how long has it been now that you've been working with seniors?
Oh, my. I guess since 95, I think. My mother had dementia, and I had quite a lot of experience working with adults with developmental disabilities, and I realized that I had some skills that I could use to help my mother.
You know? Right.
And then I realized that I was really interested in this whole aging process and, you know, how can we make the most of it, especially now that we're living longer. So, that's what got me involved. And I've been really passionate about this conscious aging movement. I'm a member of Saging International, which is where some of these ideas come from about life review and life repair and the importance of looking at this stage of life as opportunity and not as as an illness or a diminishing of our capacities, even though that happens physically, spiritually, and many times mentally, we become even more evolved as we get older. So there are all these opportunities that almost outweigh the physical limitations of aging.
So what are some of the unique challenges compared to the work you've done in the past working with seniors?
We seniors have a tendency to kind of do it our way. So when we have a structured group, like I'm doing with these eight-week series, it's very tempting for people just to kind of, oh, I don't feel like going today. or maybe I'll go, but I'm just going to take my time. So I'll come in half hour late.
Oh.
And I remember I was doing a group with, this was not an LGBT group, it was just a group of seniors. And young people are addicted to email, but seniors, older seniors are addicted to snail mail. So we would be having this really great conversation, a deep conversation about aging, and then the mailman would come and it'd be all over. And I just had to learn to go with it, you know? And then there was one woman that would, if things got a little too uncomfortable, she'd break out into a hymn.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it was just having to swing with things. Great lesson in adapting.
Love it.
So tell us about the Sonoma Valley Seniors Group. How long, when did it start, and how long have you been involved?
Well, you know, it started by Spectrum back in 2009, about when you started this radio program, I think. It was under a grant, and they had a grant to do three discussion groups, one in Napa, one in Sonoma Valley, and one in Santa Rosa. And my dear friend Gary Shepherd was hired to do all three. Unfortunately, the grant ran out in 2012, and Gary also died in 2012. Mm.
Gary was on the show.
Was he? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was. I still miss him.
Yes.
So I was really, well, two things. I was committed. I needed that group. Sonoma's pretty, we call it Slonoma. it's pretty quiet. So I needed that group for myself, selfishly. But also I wanted to carry on his legacy. Fortunately, as things would go, I love this when this happens, I ran across a woman that was doing groups for a long time at Kyra's house. Her name is Janice Farrell. And she's a part-time resident of Sonoma, so she agreed to co-facilitate with me. And then we have this great steering committee that does a lot of the other work involved. And so it's a volunteer-operated group now. Spectrum continues to pay our rent, but we do the rest of the work. And I've got to say that group just keeps growing and serving people in new and unique ways. We have a walking, hiking group. We have social activities. We had just a wild holiday dance party. we've had tea dance and social at Rossi's in Sonoma. We periodically bring chairs and sit in the plaza and just shoot the bull. we've done some work with the kids at the Gay Straight Alliance at Sonoma Valley High School. They actually had us, they had a float in the 4th of July parade in Sonoma, and they invited the LGBT elders to ride on the float.
Oh,
oh my God, it was, we were
That's
all
really cool.
Oh. We were all crying. It was such a great experience.
Yeah.
It was just really a thrill. So we want to do more work with the kids, and we have a lunch bunch. We have just lots of different things going on that really fulfills that need for connection.
Mm-hmm. So how is that group then connected to Marin? And then I think you mentioned earlier before we came on the air some work with Ian Stanley, and I know there's a senior group that meets in Napa. Is there some connection between those other two groups?
No. I go to the one in Napa just because I really it's just fun to go home and know that there's an LGBT community now. But Ian Stanley is part of LGBTQ Connection, which is, I think, part of an organization called On the Move.
On the Move, right.
Yeah. So he facilitates that group. He took over when Spectrum couldn't do it anymore. And the one in Santa Rosa is, there's a woman that keeps a list of people who've come and to notify them of the next meeting. They kind of rotate the facilitation of that group.
Hmm.
So, So they meet the fourth Tuesday of every month, and the Sonoma Valley group meets the third Tuesday of every month, and the Santa Rosa group meets at the Glasser Center. So, yeah, so it's a great location.
Good.
We've got a few minutes. Let's go back to the aging together with pride topic. Tell us about the first series in Santa Rosa and how it will sort of differ from the series in other areas that you have coming up.
Well, I think the first time out, I learned a lot. So I've adapted. So I've responded to some of the suggestions that were made. One of the things that people really liked doing was to split into little groups of three or four,
because
it made it a lot more easier for them to share. So I want to do more of that. I'm bringing more of myself into this. I was trying to, I had a training back in, it was last year, on how to do a conscious aging series. Unfortunately, that series is 12 weeks long that they trained me to do. And it was geared for all seniors, not just specifically LGBT. And I wanted to really adapt it. So this time I'm bringing a lot more of myself into it, I think, being a little freer about adapting it. There's so many things in our community. This sounds really, I don't know how to put it. I have a thing that I think people that are LGBT, it's more than just sexual orientation or gender identity. There's a package that we come with, and I think it's pretty special. And I want to kind of foster that in everybody. There's a book called Gay Spirit where the author Christian de la Huerta goes back and looks at the way the Native Americans treated their LGBT members, and they use the term twin spirited, and they were special. They had special qualities that the rest of the tribe looked up to. And I think it's true. I really do. I'm waiting to be proven wrong.
That's a great book. I have that book.
Do you?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a life changer for me. Mm. It really changed the way I saw myself. So I think I want to really promote that in the group. I think there's going to be a lot of wisdom shared, and to provide as many opportunities for people to share what they know.
Right. How do you go about getting folks to participate? Do you reach out to senior centers and groups all over the county?
The Adult and Aging Services has just done a remarkable job of getting the word out. Chris Montgomery has made sure that all the papers got news of it. She knew about this program. And she did the flyers, did a really great job on the flyers. So, and some of it's word of mouth, but I think the newspaper articles and word of mouth have really helped. And I think there's a ripple effect as well. Even if people aren't participating in the series, to know that it's there, I think has an impact. Wow, they care about us. You know, like that woman said, I shared earlier, someone's finally paying attention to those of us who were there in the beginning when the movement started to get these equal rights. And she felt, I don't know that she'll even show up, but she was so taken by the fact that this even was existed, you know.
So I read you're going to start a third group. Or a third series in the Russian River area, and then a fourth eventually in Petaluma. Where can people go to get connected and learn about when these meetings are going to take place and where to go?
Call me. 707-227-6935. 227-6935. The one in Russian River Senior Resource Center will start April 9th. It'll be on a Saturday, like the one in Guerneville. I think Saturdays are going to work fine because, first of all, there's more chance of getting a room somewhere. And secondly, we don't have to worry about medical appointments getting in the way. And the Russian River series will also be from 1 to 3. So people that like to sleep in, they can still come. And the one in Petaluma, I'm still looking for a space. But I'm taking names already for that group. And I'll let them know as soon as we find a place, and that'll probably be in June.
So are you looking for a free space in Petaluma?
Ideally.
Yeah. So if somebody had an idea for a space or had a space to offer you that's listening tonight, could they also call you at that number?
Yes, absolutely.
Can you give us that number one more time?
Sure, 707-227-6935. Perfect. And that's my cell phone, so if I can't take your call, just leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
And is there a website at all for any of this?
There isn't, no. This is a one-year project, so we'll see. If it's something that can be continued, then that's definitely worth looking into, yeah. But this is kind of to see what works. And
right. Sounds like it's working already.
It does.
And it should continue.
Yeah. And really a model for other areas. This is the first I've heard. I mean, you know, we've talked to groups that have been facilitated before, but nothing that with such a comprehensive plan and so many very clear, important outcomes in mind.
So yeah, cool. Well, we have to make a report in September. And before I forget, I want to also put contact information out for people that might want to join the LGBTQI Giving Circle.
Yes.
So let me do that right now. The contact is at Community Foundation Sonoma County, and the man's name is Jay, just the letter J. Last name is Mullinaux, M-U-L-L-I-N-E-A-U-X, or you can just go to their website, sonomacf.org, and look for Jay's email address, or give him a call at 703-03-9620. It's a great concept to be able
really
to give money and have it stay.
Yep.
And everybody who joins has a say in how the money is spent.
Yeah, it's really terrific. In fact, I was just talking with Keena Crocker, one of the founders of that organization recently, and we're going to have her on for an update about this project and some of the others that they funded. I mean, you mentioned $50,000 at the beginning of the show. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. And it's so great
First year.
It's local money and that's reinvested locally. So that's really amazing.
Right. And this next year, they're going to focus on gender and race. So
That's great. Buzz, thank you so much. It's been great having you.
My pleasure.
And again, thank you for all the incredible work you're doing. And please stay in touch.
I will.
And let us know what's going on because we miss things.
Yeah, well, it's always great
to
hear.
We try not to.
Yeah. And thank you all for joining us tonight for this edition of Outbeat Extra. Remember, Outbeat Radio airs every Sunday night at 8 p.m. here on KRCB Radio. You can listen to our past shows on demand at outbeatradio.com. Gary's going to be back for Outbeat Collage and his annual Oscar prediction show. You won't want to miss that. I'm already lining up my predictions, so I'll compare notes, Gary. But that'll be on Sunday, February 21st, and then I'll be back in February with Outbeat News in Depth. We're going to do a couple of segments on the leather community, and I know you won't want to miss that one. And again, if you are a senior out there and would like to join our LGBT Senior Voices Project, give Gary a call at 707-584-2006. That's 584-2006, or go to our website at outbeatradio.com. Have a great evening, and thanks for spending your Sunday night with us. Be sure to join us next Sunday night for Outbeat Radio's Living Proof with Sharon and Gold and Dr. Diana Grayer. That's at 8 p.m. and only here on KRCB Radio 91. That's KRCB FM Windsor, Santa Rosa. Online all the time at krcb.org. It's just before 9 p.m. Stay with us. Open Space District is next.